seen by the world as a Father's Day. And while we appreciate the recognition, we also need to recognize that God is the greatest Father of all, the perfect Father. The book of Hebrews tells us He chastises us sometimes, but He does it because He loves us. And it's so good to be able to have a Father like Almighty God and to know that He cares for us. This morning I want to talk with you about the man named Daniel in the Old Testament. We hear a lot about Isaiah and Jeremiah, but Daniel was one of the great men of the Old Testament, and a lot of his life is noted in the book of Daniel. We're told that he was one of the captives that was taken away by Babylon when Babylon destroyed Jerusalem about 606 B.C., And he was taken off into captivity. It begins in chapter 1 with the idea of Daniel being tempted by the keeper of the captives that he did not want to eat of the king's delicacies. I don't know what all that included, but he wanted to prove to them that following the Jewish kosher food would help him much better than eating the king's delicacy. So the guy was willing to help Daniel, and at the end of the period of time where they was tested, the four of the captives, Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, their face was fairer than the rest, and so he allowed them to keep the food that he was used to doing. And this showed an early test of him. He was young when this took place. And then later, because he was favored by God, he saw other opportunities to serve in the kingdom of Babylon, and a lot of things happened to him as he kept his faith. And you see him early in a fiery furnace because he refused to bow down and worship an idol. You see him taken to the lion's den because of the same test. And he was saying, you know, the fire may consume us, but our God is able. Whether he does or not is beside the point. We're not going to worship these idols. And God protected him. And when the king saw the fiery furnace, there was four in there, and there was another one that he saw. And he was amazed and gave really credit to God for the glory. And all these things happened to Daniel. And Daniel was a man of the book. And so they had the scrolls of Jeremiah and even the Chronicles. And when Daniel was reading the scrolls, he recognized that the prophecy of Jeremiah was coming true. Jeremiah said in 2 Chronicles, and also in his book as a prophet, that because of the sins of Judah and Israel, they were going to be in captivity for 70 years. And Daniel recognized, we've been here 70 years. This prophecy is coming true. And so what he did was to pray to God in chapter 9. One of the best prayers that you'll ever read, and which I want to look at it with you this morning and to recognize some of the things that are there. It takes a little bit of reading to do this, but if you'll have your Bibles open to Daniel 9, we'll read the scriptures together. And this again shows the great religious faith that Daniel had and the humility to pray and asking for forgiveness for their sins. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the lineage of the Medes, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Then I set my face toward the Lord God to make request by prayer and supplication with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord, my God, and made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments. We have sinned. Here's where he's making a national acknowledgement for the nation. And that's what God had said. If you'll pray toward Jerusalem, and you'll be able to have forgiveness. I remember one year, quite a few years ago, I was asked to lead the prayer at the Republican Convention of Texas, and I took my prayer from this chapter because it just fits our nation, because our nation needs forgiveness as well. We need to acknowledge our sins before God, and many are not doing that. But he said, "We have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and your judgments. Neither have we heeded your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings and our princes, to our fathers and all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongs to you, but to us shame of face, as in this day. To the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all Israel, those near and those far off, and all the countries in which you have driven them because of the unfaithfulness which they have committed against you. O Lord, to us belongs shame of face, to our kings and princes and our fathers, because we have sinned against you. To the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness, though we rebelled against him. We have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he has set before us by his servants the prophets. Yes, all Israel has transgressed your law and has departed so as not to obey your voice. Therefore the curse and the oath written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, has been poured out on us because we have sinned against him." If you recall, in the early days of Moses, as they were coming into the promised land, Moses read the blessings and the cursings. Then Joshua, later, when they came into the land, put them between two mountains, Mount Gerizim, and I don't remember the other at the time, but he repeated what Moses had said to all the people of Israel, the blessings and the cursings. The blessings would be, if you remain faithful, God is going to keep you in the land. But if you turn to other gods, I'll take you out of the land. And what Daniel is remembering, not only does he read the Chronicles and the book of Jeremiah, but also he remembers what Moses said, and that they would be taken out of the land. So in 606, of course, Israel had gone into captivity in 722 B.C., and now Judah went into captivity in 606 B.C. And as he has confirmed his words, which he spoke against us and against our judges who judged us, by bringing upon us a great disaster. For under the whole heaven has such has never been done as what has been done in Jerusalem. And as it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster came upon us, yet we have not made our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand your truth. Therefore the Lord has kept the disaster in mind and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all works which he does, though we have not obeyed his voice. And now, Lord God, who brought your people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, made yourself a name as this day, we have sinned, we have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all your righteousness, I pray, let your anger and your fury be turned away from your city, Jerusalem. Your holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and your people are a reproach of those around us. Now therefore, O God, hear the prayer of your servant and his supplications, and for the Lord's sake, cause your face to shine on your sanctuary, which is desolate. O my God, incline your ear to hear. Open your eyes and see our oblations and our desolations, and the city which is called by your name. For we do not present our supplication before you because of our righteous deeds, but because of your mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and act. Do not delay for your own sake, my God, for your city and the people that are called by your name. Now, this was his prayer, his confession of sin. Here's the wonderful thing that took place and to answer. Now, while I was speaking, praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord, our God, for his holy mountain of God, yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of the evening offering, and he informed me and talked to me and said, O Daniel, I have now come forth to give you skill to understand. At the beginning of your supplications, the command went out, and I have come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved. Therefore, consider the matter and understand the vision. The rest of this is a calendar of what's going to take place up until the destruction of Jerusalem again, but also it includes the coming of the Messiah. So Daniel is an unusual person in that he spent so much time in service to God, and truly, as was stated, you're greatly beloved. Only we, if we could have that same thought, that God loves us that way and prove it by our faithfulness. But what happened with Daniel was that being in the captivity, he was reading the scrolls and understanding God's plan for the future. And as he was under Darius, then later the Cyrus the Persian took over the kingdom and issued a decree that the Jews could go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the temple. And so all this was fulfilled. They were in captivity for 70 years, and Jeremiah talked about that as the Sabbath time when the land lay fallow because of their sins, and for 70 years it did not keep the Sabbaths. So it's a wonderful thing, but I'd like to emphasize this morning about the prayer of Daniel and to recognize what a wonderful prayer it was. I'm going to detour for just a moment and recognize that we need this in America today. While I recognize this was spoken about the people of Israel, our nation has forgotten God. Our nation has turned away from God, and there are many people today that are actually fighting against God and fighting against religion in America. There are some consolidated efforts to remove God from the public acknowledgement in America. And I could go into great detail about that, but you can read the news as well as I, and recognize that this is not good for our nation. And so we need to pray for our country, and the Bible tells us to do that, to pray for the king and for his servants, and we need to pray for the president and for Congress as well, to recognize that our nation needs so badly to turn back to God. So we're able to do that. But there are a number of things about this prayer that we want to notice this morning. One man named John Owen, who was a Puritan, said, "What an individual is in secret on his knees before God, that he is and no more." So this applies to each one of us in the sense that what we really are when we pray to God is something about our character. And if our heart is sincere, if we're praying to God according to his will, then God will hear us, and we need to take this to admonition. But Daniel sought God's presence. He was in a difficult situation because the nation he was in as a servant of the king was an idolatrous nation. And time and again he was put to the test about whether or not he would do this. Daniel prayed, the Bible tells us, three times a day. He would face Jerusalem and pray three times a day. As a coincidence, we need to ask ourselves, how many times a day do you pray? We get so busy with various things. We get busy with our jobs and we watch so much television that I think sometimes we've given up prayer. But I do believe what is put in the bulletin in James 5:16, that a righteous man's prayers are heard and God will pay attention to those things. And we need to pray for so many things. We need to pray for our members. We need to pray for our country. And Daniel was a man who would do that sort of thing. And he was in the middle of an idolatrous situation, he nevertheless was faithful. And so we make an application to us in that we don't see very many people pray. We don't see very many people really attend services. Today, a lot of people are on the golf course. A lot of people have slept in. A lot of people go out to the lake and have picnics and things of that nature. And a lot of people are just getting together today because this is Father's Day, without remembering our Heavenly Father. And so we need these things, and we need to understand it. What he did, he knelt down in prayer. Now, it's not required that we kneel in prayer. It shows an humble spirit, and if you're able physically to bow, then perhaps you should bow. But I've noticed others standing in the Bible, standing and praying. And you may pray in your bed. You may pray in your car. But he showed his reverence for God and kneeling. He prayed 3 times a day, and he gave thanks to God. And truly, we need to give thanks to God as we made our contribution this morning. Prayer was made that we have been blessed so very much. And we give thanks for those things as well as the spiritual. And he prayed as was his custom since early days. And so this was something that was a part of his life. And that should surely be a part of our life, that we pray on a daily occasion. The Bible does not require how many times you pray. Many times, I think circumstances would decree how many times you pray because of the things that are happening to you. But he prayed as was his custom, and he set his face toward God. And that's an interesting statement. I believe in America, many have turned away from God, literally, but they don't turn their face toward God. Usually, among us, we bow our heads as we pray, but that's showing reverence for God. But in our life, we set our face toward God. We ask God to be in our life. We ask God to bless us in this life and to help us do the right thing. So Daniel was doing that, and he sought God's glory. And we mentioned that just 1 or 2 weeks ago as we talked about glorifying God. And he glorified God. He said that God is great and awesome because he keeps his covenant. And I've done studies, as maybe you have too, on the internet about different kinds of gods, the gods of the Romans and the Greeks. And their character was always full of spite and hatred and lust and war. And you think about Almighty God, and he is the only God, but he is awesome in what he's done. He's righteous in all his works. And Daniel acknowledges that they're in captivity because they needed that God put them there because of their wickedness and their iniquities. But he understood, as well as we need to understand, that God is merciful. And we need to understand that because we sin. Romans 3, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. A lot of people think, well, I've quit sinning as much as I can, so therefore I'm okay. But no, there needs to be repentance. And that's what we saw with regard to Daniel. He was so willing to repent of his own transgressions, though none of them are mentioned in the book of Daniel. But he also acknowledged the sins of the country, and he wanted to make everything right. Now, I ask you, in the light of this, to look at your own life. This is what we need to do in self-examination every day. And to say, if there's something in my life that I've done for which I've not had repentance and prayer, I've not been forgiven. And it's here, ready. God is loving and merciful, ready to forgive if I do the right thing. We've talked about Brother Golden Harris, who often visits with us, and he sings with the group. One of the songs that he led, he was using the lead song in this one, was Kneel in Prayer. And he talked about how willing God was to forgive if we kneel. And what that shows is humility and recognition that I have not been as I should have been. I ask each of you to look into your own heart and to recognize if you haven't lived right, are you going to keep on living with that sin on your soul, or will you ask for God's forgiveness? And the good thing to know that Daniel understood that he's a God of mercy and forgiveness. And all we have to do is repent, yield ourselves to God, and acknowledge that I'm a sinner. And he will forgive. And that's a wonderful thing to know. One of our ladies said this morning that she knew she couldn't get to heaven by her works, but she could certainly get to heaven as a forgiven person. And that's what I teach all the time. If it required people to be perfect to go to heaven, it'd be empty. Just empty. Jesus alone would be there. But recognizing that we can be forgiven, and Daniel was acknowledging that very much. And he said, the things of God must return to a state of glory for your own sake. And the fact was that he was recognizing that the world knew that God was the God of Israel. And all of a sudden, here was Israel in desolation and in captivity. And he said, so that people will know that you are that God that blesses us, let us return to our own land. And he was not doing it just for himself, but he was doing it for God's sake. And that's something that we should think about. That is, that I give my life to God for his sake. Romans 12 says we make ourselves a living sacrifice to God. We do that for our sake, but also we do that to glorify God. And he sought God's mercy by acknowledging the sin of his people. I've already made application to America. We need that so badly. It's somewhat odd and peculiar, and yet I understand it. When World War II was going on, the church buildings were full of people. I remember growing up, and I know exactly where I was when the horns blew and we knew that World War II was over, and the church buildings were full of people. Then gradually, the women, particularly, who had been working during World War II, like Tilly the Toiler, they kept their jobs, and they didn't want to go home. They wanted that salary. And so the land of America began to change when the women were no longer in the home telling the children what to do and how to do it and keep them faithful. It made a big difference in that. And we still see that today. But he was acknowledging the sin of his people. And we have sinned, he said. That is, we missed the mark. And that's what the word sin means, to miss the mark. Like you pull the bow and shoot the arrow at a target and you miss it. And you've missed God's grace. You've sinned. And we have to be willing to say that. I've mentioned before that there are two parts to the gospel. One part is not pleasant. That part is that those who teach the Bible must teach people they are sinners. We see that in Acts 2 when the apostles preached by the Holy Ghost and by inspiration. He said, "You have taken and crucified the Son of Glory." They had to see their sins. Then the second part of the gospel was the good news of salvation. The blood of Christ will forgive us of all these sins. So I say that today, that's never changed. If you've committed sins in your life and you've never repented, it's past time. Peter said it's past time that we stop this. And I would say that to all of us here today. If you haven't belonged to the Lord's church, I talked to someone this week trying to get him to attend, and he doesn't attend anywhere right now, but he was saying that he still loved God even though he wasn't attending. And the burden I'm trying to teach him is you can't love God without keeping his commandments. You can't love Christ without loving the church. You can't serve Christ without serving the church. And why is that? Because Christ is the head and the church is his body. If you're going to serve Christ, you'll serve the body and you'll be in the body. And that's what the Bible teaches very clearly. If you're not a member of a congregation somewhere, you need to be, because you're not in the body of Christ and not serving him. So, yes, we've sinned and committed iniquity, from a word that means to bend or twist or to act crookedly. And that's what the Jews did in Jerusalem. They did that, and they were doing that in the days of Jesus. They did wickedly, that acting contrary to God's righteousness. And that's what the Bible is saying. So they rebelled. They revolted against God's authority. Now, Daniel was acknowledging all these things, and he was leading the people in that way. They departed from your precepts and your judgments. And so those things that were God's standards, they gave up. Well, God still has standards today. It's called the gospel. And we need to bow and obey the gospel of Christ. So after laying the foundation, that is acknowledging God's righteousness and Judah's sin, Daniel prayed for mercy. And you heard that prayer as we read it together just a moment ago. O Lord, have mercy. O Lord, forgive. Could you say that? Could you humble yourself and say, O Lord, be merciful to me. O Lord, forgive. I've done wrong. I've done wickedly. I haven't lived according to your precepts, and I want to come home. Lord, forgive. And that's what he was praying. And so we're to seek God's mercy and forgiveness. And if we will acknowledge and repent of our sins, that's a blessing. God wants that. The book of Acts tells us that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so we need to understand that God wants this, and the rewards are so wonderful beyond belief. We're studying the book of Revelation on Wednesday nights, and the things that we have to look forward to as we study that book just multiply the goodness of God because he's doing so many good things for us. So Daniel sought God's will. And can you say that? See, I know we're looking back here at a time thousands of years ago, but can you say that today, that I'm seeking God's will? I want to know what the will of God is. I want to conform to the will of God and offer my life as a living sacrifice. When I read Romans 12, I think of Paul as a Jew. And no doubt as a Jew, he had gone to Jerusalem and offered sacrifices, which they killed and offered to God. He used that analogy to say, now I'm going to make a living sacrifice. I'm going to live and serve God. And that's what he was trying to say. The language of his prayer shows he was familiar with God's word. If you were a man and asked to lead public prayer, would you be able to? Because you're accustomed to prayer. The people who don't want to lead prayer are people who don't pray, because they don't pray. And when called upon, they would not know what to say. I remember in a joking way what happened to a man down close to Lufkin, Texas. He was called on to lead prayer, and he prayed and he prayed, and he was trying to figure out a way to end it, and he couldn't remember. So he kept praying and he kept praying, and finally he realized, you know, I need to end this prayer. So he said, very truly yours, John Brown. What do we say? In Jesus' name. Because that's what the Bible tells us, that we pray to God through Jesus. And so it's not just a phrase that we use. We pray in Jesus' name because we've been authorized in Matthew 6 when it talks about the prayer that Jesus, the model prayer, our Father who art in heaven. And of course, that's how we pray. And he was familiar with that. So if you're concerned about leading a public prayer, pray at home. Learn to pray sincerely and from the heart. If you're ever called on to pray publicly, you'll just do the same thing because you're familiar with prayer. And he knew the curse that would come upon Israel if Israel continued violating the covenant. They'd be taken out of existence. And he was praying for that not to happen. So Daniel knew that God had promised to return to captivity after 70 years. He was a man of the book. He was in captivity, and he'd never forgot to read Jeremiah, and he knew the law of Moses. So they had their scrolls, and good people would certainly do that, and Daniel's one of them. And we pray according to God's will. We don't pray, you do what I tell you to do. We pray, if it be your will, that you'll do these things and recognize that. And so Daniel receives that assurance. Even as he was speaking, the angel Gabriel was sent to him. Daniel, your prayer has been heard, and the decree has gone forth. You'll be going back home. And so he had that assurance of that. The angel Gabriel appears to Daniel, assuring him that his prayer has been heard, that he will be given understanding. Now, we don't have to have an angel tell us that. The Bible has already told us that our prayers will be heard if we pray according to His will. And so we pray without expecting an angel to appear, but we pray knowing if God wills, that prayer will be answered and we're able to understand that. We can have confidence that if we pray like Daniel, our prayers are heard and answered. God listens to us. Isn't that marvelous? I think I've been looking around in our backyard and looking at nature. I think of God designing the leaves on the trees. I think of Him designing the flowers. I think of God designing the universe and the human body and all the things, the mighty works that Daniel talked about God doing. Yes, He's done all those mighty things, but He'll hear me and He'll hear you. And His ear is never turned away from us as we do His will. And so here are the things that we learn, I think, from Daniel's prayer. And that is, we truly understand that God hears. If I repent, if I turn from my sins, God will hear me. So I leave that message with you. You know your heart, you know your life, you know what you need. And if we'll be humble and yield and obey the will of God, He'll forgive everything wrong that we've ever done. I can go to heaven forgiven because God answers prayers. If you need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, we pray for you this morning. You'll have the courage to come to the front. Acknowledge that you've been a sinner. And repent and pray if you're already a Christian. If you're not a child of God, repent and we'll take your confession about Jesus Christ and baptize you into Christ for the remission of your sins. Think about those things as we stand together and sing. We invite you forward.